is 91.7 WVXU's Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Mark Haney. Later in the program, we'll talk with members of the Black Lawyers Association of Cincinnati about how they're trying to let people know what to expect when former UC police officer Ray Tenzing goes back on trial in the death of Sam DeBose during a traffic stop. But first, today, we're talking about stay-at-home moms who want to re-enter the workforce. Deborah Neumeyer is the author of Moms for Hire. She went back to into the workforce after her husband died and left her to raise four children. Also joining us is professor in the School of Social Work at the University of Cincinnati, Dr. Gary Dick. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk@wvxu.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Glad to have you both here. I think I'd like to just jump right in and ask the question about, and Deborah, we'll start with you. How do you think a mom knows that she's ready to go back to work?
Well, I think your crank level goes up. I think you start to get more annoyed by the things that were every day and that you start to feel like you're find yourself complaining about that your husband won't give you the money to rechange the bathroom towels, or that you just feel like you don't have your identity. And it's a slow burn. You feel like you cannot cut off another piece of crust off that tuna fish sandwich one more time. And you need to have something of your own. A lot of times it's financial, but statistically, more times than not, women and stay-at-home women and stay-at-home dads want to go back to work because they want something to call their own. They want to have a paycheck, a boss, an identity outside of the workplace.
Gary?
One of the ways I look at this, too, is more or less from that identity perspective and from a psychological perspective as well. It's like, okay, I'm a mom, I'm a dad, but what else am I? And so it begins to become a process of integrating another aspect of one's identity, especially for stay-at-home dads and stay-at-home moms. And I think that we all have this potential that needs to be unleashed. We have talents, we have skills, and there comes a time in raising your children that you want to tap into that other part of who you are.
Do you think that as you decide that, okay, maybe it's time to get back into the workforce, that, Deborah, I know you talk about it in your book, the whole idea of just the fear factor involved. Can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, you had it yourself, and you were sort of forced back into work, right?
Yes. Well, I had, through my career, 11 different jobs with 11 different bosses and 11 different paychecks and 11 different office spaces. And the average American has 12 different jobs through the span of their career. And there's always in between time. There's always time where it doesn't seamlessly work for you, leave one job on Friday and start another one on Monday. It's always traumatic, any switch. And we have a lot of clutter in our lives that is making us afraid to change, to move from one place to another. Although the truth is, change is what makes us active, makes us happy, gives us spirit. So all I can say is, yes, it's fearful. It's fearful thinking about, will I get a job? Will the job be terrible? Will my family fall apart if I go to work? Will the Wi-Fi never work again? Whatever your fears are, list them. Look at them and just say, maybe I can handle this, maybe I can't, but I'm going to go for it. But you have to identify what your fearful roadblocks are before you can really fully proceed.
One of the other perspectives I was thinking about is that the whole idea of returning to work as a choice or a necessity, I think on one level, like if you look at stay-at-home dads, the largest percentage of those fathers that stay at home are unemployed. And so if they were to go out and to get a job, they would, as Deborah, you were saying, they would probably have some of the same fears. But if it's an opportunity that they can reenter the workplace, along with those fears, there might be a lot of self-doubt, I know some people have that have been interviewed going out for the first job, stay-at-home dads anyway, they've been questioned about whether or not the role of stay-at-home dads is a cop-out for the fact that you've been unemployed. And so for dads, it's like, well, you're not fitting into what you're supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be out working. Mm-hmm. And so, but I like that idea of listing those fears. Who's going to be raising my children if I go back to work? And I think there is another huge issue that needs to be brought up in this discussion, and that is the workplace policies about paid paternity and maternity leave when a child is born or adopted, as well as the flexibility of those organizations in allowing mothers and stay-at-home dads to have more flexibility in their work schedules.
Do you agree, Deb, that's something to look out for?
I absolutely do, but I don't really deal with that till the very last chapter. Once you've figured out how to turn yourself into a good candidate, applied, kept your spirit up, finally got your offer, and then you're in the system. And once you're in the system, I implore people to somehow pay it backwards and try to help with some policy decisions. I think that we're all very concerned now with this term of gender equality, and we're all very concerned with the fact that there are not enough females on Fortune 500 board of directors seats. There's not enough women in the House or in the Congress, or there's not enough women, there's no women in the White House. There's no women, you know, there's not enough women on the upper end of this world. Well, there are not enough women working, period. 30% of all stay-at-home moms, of all mothers stay at home and do not work, are unemployed. And that number could actually be bigger because you don't always register yourself as unemployed when you're a stay-at-home mom.
I want to talk about, to go back a little bit to the fear that we were talking about, and Gary was talking about the fear of who will take care of your family and those sorts of things. In your book, Deb, you talk a little bit about the whole idea of the fear of re-entering the workforce after having been away for a while. Tell us how you conquer that, how you know if, you know, things change in fields all the time. If you've been away from the work for five or six or seven or longer years, how do you conquer that fear to go back?
Well, two things. One, you take a millennial to lunch was one idea that I've always had and I really like. You find somebody who's in their 20s, late 20s, early 30s, who's been in the workforce for a couple of years. Take them to lunch. Say, what's your workspace like? What's your work life like? How do you relate to your bosses, to your colleagues? What's the new social media rules? And you know, I was shocked when I found out that almost every company, kids have two portals open all the time. One is their social media portal and one is their work portal. We would never be, when I was working, sort of doodling in the outside world or reading a magazine while you're working. But certain things are now acceptable, but certain responsibilities are also come with that multitasking accessibility. You have to do jobs sometimes not from a desk. You have to do it from a standing desk or from a Starbucks or from your own phone. So the first thing is to take a millennial to lunch. The second thing I would advise people, fake it. Just go out there and say, I got this. Just like you would have done in your very first job. You don't have to say, I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm a rookie. I'm starting all over. You actually have to do your best to catch up, look around quickly, ask people who you're comfortable with for a little bit of insight, and then go for it. Fake it. Is that terrible to say? But it's the best advice I can give is if you're going to go out there, really go out there without ambivalence and without mopiness.
If you're a mom who has recently gone back to work or has stayed home for a while and then gone back, you want to share your story with us, we'd like to hear from you. Our phone number is 513-419-7100 or email us talk at WVXU.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. As you're headed out and you conquer the fear and you decide, yes, you're ready to do this, and you're trying to put everything together, what should your mindset be, Gary?
I think your mindset ought to probably be along the lines of, I want to make this work. I want to balance this out. And I think you need to be true to where the conflicts are. For example, if you're missing your child, if you feel like you're missing out on important opportunities in terms of time spent with them, you've got to be true to yourself and to your family and to your role as a parent. And I think those issues also need to be brought forth into the workplace. Earlier, we were talking about things to do to sort of overcome the fears. I think the taking the millennial to lunch is a great idea, because if you've been out of the workplace for 4 or 5 years, the technology has changed, the way people communicate has changed, and also the work ethic has changed over time. And I think that the other idea that I was thinking about is, you really want to connect. I mean, you come in with your experience, you come in with your background, but also it's the ability to connect with the people that you're seeking employment with. People want relationships. They want hard workers. They want people that are skilled, but they want to make sure that you are a part of the team.
Deb?
That's great advice. It's great advice for millennials. It's great advice for vets. It's great advice for boomers who are retirees, anybody. That's all we want to ever do in life is connect. We just want to belong and feel useful and figure out beforehand what it is that's important to us. If it's important that you are 5 minutes away from your kids at any given point, then you can, there goes the parameters. You can only find a job within a certain area. If it's important that you find a job that will let you bring your dog to work, that's what you got to do. So you, the more and more you hone down what are the things that are really important to you, if the paycheck is all that's important, if the status of the company, if the position is important, all those things. And then once you get there, behave. You're right. Try to connect. Try to make friends. Try to be part of whatever the culture is.
We're talking today about moms and dads re-entering the workforce after staying at home with kids. We're going to continue our discussion in just a moment. Later in the program, we'll hear from the members of the Black Lawyers Association of Cincinnati about the upcoming trial of a former UC police officer charged in the death of Sam DuBose during a traffic stop. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking about women reentering the workforce after staying at home with their kids. My guests, author of Moms for Hire, Deborah Neumeyer, and professor in the School of Social Work at the University of Cincinnati, Dr. Gary Dick. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100 or emailing talk at WVXU.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. We do have a couple of calls I'd like to get to. Andy's calling from Clifton. Hi, Andy. What's your comment?
Hi. My comment is just listening to the guests talk about how to reenter. For me, as my family grew older, I started to really take my middle age and really connect with what I love in life and what I'm really good at. So I think taking someone out to lunch who's actually in the workforce is certainly helpful. But for me, along with that, is to take my, what I did personally is to take my strengths into the workplace. So I really took what I did really well and being of the age that I knew what I had learned, how to adapt and my strengths, and really authentically took that into the place and found my fit rather than fitting into the environment. I just came in with that strength and then was probably the most confident I had ever been in the workplace.
Really? So what were the strengths that you felt you brought?
Well, a lot of it was experience, adaptability, just raising and managing a family just teaches you how to interact with people in really authentic ways and listening. And also, I just explored more of my own passions as a person. So I was just much more prepared in terms of adaptability and strength.
Very good.
Older, wiser, and, you know, you just authentically go in versus being new to the workplace at right out of college or at 20, and you're really, you know, you do things in different ways. You just really know who you are, and you stay in that space with an open mind and a humble learner.
I agree with that. I think that the jobs that you're looking for when you're after you've had a family are completely different. Your passions are different. I have one of the exercises. It's now a modern day Pinterest is what a lot of people do, but it's vision mapping, which is you go and you try to brainstorm. What are the things that really turn you on? What are the things you like to talk about when you go to a party? What are the magazines you grab for? What are the what radio station do you listen to? What are your turn-ons, essentially? And the more you hone that down, the more capable you are of becoming a great candidate. Then I say, hey, get yourself an expert list. Figure out the things that not only you want to do, but the things that you're really good at. And sometimes, and there's a list of that in the book that you can quickly circle or have your core four friends circle for you if you're not sure exactly what your great talents are. And they're all new talents that you got in the last 5 or 10 years from being the
stay-at-home
leader
mom.
Of a family.
Yeah. Gary.
I love Andy's perspective about know your strengths. And I see this also as fitting into a part of your identity. Know who you are. And also know the organization. So as Andy was saying, it's like, here's who I am. These are my strengths. I know this organization. Will this be a good fit? If it's not, I'm going to keep looking.
Mm-hmm. Andy, thank you so much for the call. We really appreciate it.
I'm glad you made it.
Thank you. We also have a call from Anita in Reading. Hi, Anita.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Certainly. What's your question?
Just a comment, just that I appreciate that you guys are talking about this subject. I think that the idea of mothers going back to the workforce isn't something that we talk about in the greater public in general, and I'm looking forward to reading Deborah's book. And I'm a mom of a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old. I'll actually be going back to school full-time in the fall, and so I just wanted to talk about how those getting over those fears of whether or not you have something of value to add to a workforce or to a school program after you've been home with children for so long was just something that was particularly of interest to me. And I would love to hear the speaker's perspective on going back to school as something a little bit different than entering the workforce.
Deb?
Well, I think quite often when what you want to do doesn't match what your talents, you need to go back to school. And I think that's a great interim step for retraining you back into the world of adults. and from school, you usually can, there's great career center help to help you then integrate whatever you're learning into a job. I think as long as you're open and smart and feeling, you know, and dedicated, you'll do great in school.
Gary?
We see this an awful lot at the School of Social Work. We have a number of students coming back into the, into the graduate school who, these are second, third careers for them. They may have had a previous degree, a previous master's degree, and they're redefining themselves and, you know, beginning to develop a new professional career. Very common.
Well, Anita, good luck. Good luck with school. Bye-bye, Anita. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. One of the things we haven't had a chance to talk about is the whole idea, and we just have a few minutes left here, but the whole idea of putting together a resume and how you do that and maybe include some of those strengths and skills you've developed as a mom and put those on your resume. Gary?
I've always told women that the exact same thing, you know, you need to take those skills from being a stay-at-home mom. Banking and budgeting and finance, conflict resolution, project management, all of those skills, crisis intervention, negotiation, and put those on your resume and talk about them.
Deb?
I agree, but there will come a question of, well, why is there a gap in your career trajectory? And I advise people not to skirt that question. Say, yes, I did give up my career for a spell, and I would probably do it again, or I did it for this reason or that reason, and they're all valid reasons. I don't want anybody to ever feel like they have to hide the fact that they were stay-at-home moms. But they got to also realize that they might not be coming back into the workplace at the same place that they left, both wage-wise and status-wise. But I did a fun thing once, which was a great confidence builder, which I made a stay-at-home mom resume. The Wall Street Journal once, and which includes all the things that you do that you're not paid for, all the everyday tasks that you take care of. And I didn't do conflict resolution, which I'm going to add to this. Thank you very much. But the Jane Mom resume, if you added it all up, you would make close to $100,000 a year in unpaid services. And this isn't just me speaking. This was the Wall Street Journal that did this calculation. So we really are of some value and a great contributor to the world. We just have to really identify those skills and work as employable.
How long do you think it takes the average stay-at-home mom, once she starts looking, or stay-at-home dad for that matter, start looking to actually get back into the workforce? How long does it take?
Could take a year. Sorry.
A year.
Could really take a year. I mean, to a certain degree, you're rusty and you have to make yourself into a good candidate. Sometimes you have to go back to school. But you really have to ask every single person you know. The truth is your network is much different than it was when you were in your 20s. It's bigger. It's different. You have alumni from all your schools that have progressed through the work field. You have friends from your children's soccer teams. You have friends from all the things that you do in the world, that great grocery you go to every now and then as a special treat. You have friends everywhere that could become your allies and your contacts, and create a network of these people and learn to ask.
I think there's also two issues. One is, how long does it take to get back into the workplace? And then how long does it take to get the job that it's the perfect fit for you. Earlier we were talking about the whole idea of how do you explain the gap in paid employment. And I think, too, along with you, Deborah, that just being really honest about my values are here. I value raising my family. I value being a mother, being a father. And I know in some of the recent research, 48% of the working fathers and 52% of working mothers felt that they did not spend enough time with their children.
We have to stop there. I thank you both for being here today. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and good luck to all the moms and dads that are going back into the workforce looking for that job. We've been talking about moms and dads reentering the workforce. My guests today were author of Moms for Hire, Deborah Neumeier, and professor in the School of Social Work at the University of Cincinnati, Dr. Gary Dick.